right, good morning. I hope you brought your Bible with you. We are starting a new series today called The River. Now, we know something about rivers here in San Antonio, don't we? Right? Our city is pretty much built around a certain river walk. Most of us in San Antonio know to avoid that place like the plague, because it's a tourist trap, but it's definitely part of the San Antonio mystique. And the thing about rivers, even the river walk, the thing about rivers is eventually you're going to have to cross the river, right? Like eventually you're going to have to move from one side to the other side. And as a result of that simple truth, in almost every story, rivers mark a change of seasons. They represent a change of movement, a passing from one era to the next. And that's kind of what we're going to be exploring over the next 3 weeks. So if you have your Bible, would you go ahead and turn with me to the book of Joshua? The book of Joshua, chapter 4. And as you're turning there, let's remember where we are in the Bible story itself. Moses had led the Israelites out of Egyptian captivity. Not just Moses, but God, working through Moses, led the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery. And God, through Moses, had led the Israelites through the desert for a generation. And they had made their way just to the edge of the promised land. And it was there that God led Moses up on Mount Nebo, right? To show him the land, even though Moses would never get to be the one to step foot in the land. God chose Joshua to succeed Moses, and 40 years later, Joshua is going to be the one through whom God would lead the people to cross the Jordan and enter into the land the Lord had given them. And God goes before them. The priests carry the ark into the river, and where the priests stand, as the ark enters the water, the rushing river stops. And there they stood on dry ground in the middle of the river. And as they stood there, all of Israel crosses without even getting their socks wet, right? Like nothing gets wet. And that's where we're picking up in Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. So would you stand with me as we read together Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. If you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. We're going to have the verses up on the screen. Joshua 4, verse 1, it says, "After the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua. Choose 12 men from the people, one man for each tribe, and command them, take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing, carry them with you and set them down at the place where you spend the night." So Joshua summoned the 12 men he had selected from the Israelites, one man for each tribe, and said to them, "Go across to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you lift a stone onto his shoulder." So now we know that the rock isn't something that you can slip into your pocket. This is a stone to place on your shoulder, a big, heavy stone. "One for each of the Israelite tribes, so that this will be a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean to you?' you should tell them, 'The water of the Jordan was cut off in front of the Ark of the Lord's Covenant. When it crossed the Jordan's water was cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites.' And the Israelites did just as Joshua had commanded them. The 12 men took stones from the middle of the Jordan, one for each of the Israelite tribes, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them into the camp and set them down there. Joshua also set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and these stones are still there today. God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Once all of the people of Israel cross into the promised land, God commands Joshua to choose 12 men, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, to take a stone from the middle of the riverbed. That's where the ark was. In the middle of what had been a rushing river. Right smack in the middle of what would have been a dangerous crossing if the Lord hadn't stopped the waters. So Joshua calls out to the men. Each of them lift a stone upon their shoulders and they carry them where they're going to camp that night. And Joshua explains to them why they're adding this burden to their backs. Remember, they don't have a home. They're traveling. Everything they own, everything they have is carried on their backs. So it's not a minor inconvenience for Joshua to say, hey, I know your backs are tired. Now I want you to pick up this stone. Have you ever noticed rocks are always heavier than you expect them to be? Pick up this stone, put it on your back, put it on your shoulder, and carry it. So Joshua says that these men are taking these stones as a memorial. And what they're going to do is they're going to set them up in a way that makes the next generation ask questions. So have you ever done something in your house, or have you ever walked around your house and wondered why they did it that way? Like, that room doesn't make any sense. Why is that window there? That window looks out at nothing, right? Why did they do that? They're doing something that makes the next generation ask questions. So Joshua is saying, we're going to set these stones up in a way that leads the next generation to ask questions. And when their children ask them, why these stones? What's the meaning behind these stones? That gives these men an opportunity, that gives this entire generation the opportunity to tell them about the time when God stopped the river. Right? They're sitting on their back porch, on their rocking chair, with their sweet tea, with just a slice of lemon, right? Let me tell you about the time. Remember when God stopped the river. They get to tell them about the time God made it clear that it was time for them to step into something new. God made it clear that it was time for a new season, because God didn't just bring them to the edge of the river, right? God didn't carry them to the edge of the river and then stop. No, God carried them through the river. And they're picking up these stones from the middle of the riverbed, and they're carrying them into the promised land. I want you to pick up what's happening here. Pick up, get it, the stones. Pick up what's happening here. These stones are not from the promised land. These stones are being carried into the promised land to remind the people of God's provision, to remind the people of God's leading, to remind the people of God's protection. Because new things can be scary. Amen? Sometimes we struggle when God calls us to step into a new season, because what we want to do is go back to the thing that we knew before. Right? But if you're taking notes, I'm going to encourage you to write this down. We remember the past, but we can't live there. We remember the past, but we can't live there. Many of us in this room can remember a time when the presence of God felt as close to us as our own skin. Maybe it was at youth camp when you were a teenager, right? Maybe it was VBS when you were a kid. Maybe it was during a revival service with or a Billy Graham crusade. Our lives are marked by these moments. These are the moments that we go back to when we need times of assurance, when we need times of encouragement. But here's the challenge before us. We can't really go back there. And not only that, it's not like that season, in that moment, in that time, wasn't scary. It's not like that season or time wasn't difficult or challenging. No, it's just that now, on this side of it, you can see what God was doing in that season. But most of us are scared now, challenged now, find things difficult now, because we don't see yet what God is doing in this season. So God commands them to carry these stones into the land to remind them of what He has done on their behalf so that they can move forward into what's next. Look at verse 15. So Joshua commanded, I'm ahead, not 15. Yeah, verse 15. Says that after all the people had crossed the river, the Lord told Joshua, command the priests who carry the Ark of the Testimony to come up from the Jordan. God had led them into the transition from the wilderness to the promised land. But it's critical that we remember this. The Spirit of the Lord is not tied to the river. They can see God doing something here in this river, right? God stopped the waters. Hey, let's stay here. Look at what God is doing here, but that's not what God is calling them to. He's calling them beyond the river. He's leading them through the river into what's next. It says, so Joshua commands the priests, come up from the Jordan. When the priests carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant came up from the middle of the Jordan and their feet stepped out on solid ground, the water of the Jordan resumed its course, flowing all over the banks as before. So, the priests carry the ark up out of the water, and the moment their feet touch the bank, the river begins to flow again. And just so that we're clear, this isn't like a hill country drought that they're crossing in the midst of, right? That there's a miracle in this moment. The text says that the river is running at flood stage. That's what it says when it says, that's what it means when it says that it's flowing all over the banks. The river is flowing at flood stage. They weren't in a drought. And that's a helpful picture for us because it's evidence that God understands the very human desire to go back. In fact, it proves not only that it was God's will for them to enter into the land, because it would have been extremely dangerous to cross a river at flood stage. As we were reminded, the dangers of flooding rivers just last year, weren't we? So the Lord stopped the waters so they could cross over. And he let loose the waters as soon as they crossed. In other words, it's important that we see that God is not leaving the door open for them to go back. In his kindness, God is removing from them the option for retreat. Why is that important? Again, if you're taking notes, I'm asking you to write this down. It's important because in seasons of change, we feel a pull to go back. In seasons of change, we feel the pull to go back, but God calls us forward. It's a longer sentence than I usually give you. In seasons of change, we feel the pull to go back. But God calls us forward. As the story goes, for all my history buffs, when Hernan Cortez landed in Mexico in 1519, his crew was exhausted after months at sea. But he knew that they would face hostility. He knew that they would face difficulties on land. And he knew that the inclination of his sailors would not be to stay around and figure things out. He knew that they would be tempted to just get back on the boats, because at least they understood the sea. They were sailors, after all. They were far more familiar with life at sea than stepping into the unknown. So once they made landfall, Cortez ordered his men to do what? To burn the ships. There's one history major in the room. I love it. He ordered his sailors to burn the ships, to remove retreat as an option. When the Lord takes you into a new season and you have the assurance that this isn't some wandering journey, but instead you know that you're marching in step with King Jesus, listen to me, there's no retreating. There's no going back. You will grow fearful. You will grow fearful when you're faced with new challenges. You will grow afraid when you meet with new opposition. You will be tempted to go back to what you had before, but listen to me, God is calling you forward, not back. And I really believe that's where we are as a church today. God is calling us forward, and tonight is one simple way that we're going to respond to that together. Tonight we're going to do something a little bit different. See, for our ministry celebration, what we're going to have is little stones for everybody. Not asking anybody to carry one on their backs. We're going to have little stones for everyone. We're going to have paint pens you can use. And I'm asking for everyone to come and either write a verse or a prayer on a stone. And if you're all crafty and artsy, you can paint the stone. And we're going to take them and we're going to place them somewhere meaningful on the church grounds. Maybe it's outside the children's building where you first heard about Jesus. Maybe it's outside the fellowship hall or the youth center. Maybe it's on the playground. We're going to place them, and we're going to thank God for what he's done at University Baptist Church in the past. And we're going to pray for what he has in store for this church in the future. As many of you know, this isn't necessarily a new thing for University Baptist Church. Beneath where I'm standing right now, there are hundreds of stones covered in verses and prayers. They were put here when the building was being constructed. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we have this stone facade at the altar. It's so that when someone makes mention or asks about our stonework or says, "Golly, that sure is pretty," that gives our church the opening to tell them that this church is built upon the Word of God and the prayers of His people. Do we have pictures? Yeah. That's entirely in keeping with what's happening here in the book of Joshua. Look with me at verse 19. It says, "The people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern limits of Jericho. Then Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan and said to the Israelites, 'In the future, when your children ask their fathers,'" I really hope he means when your children ask you, but we're good. "When your children ask their fathers, 'What is the meaning of these stones?' you should tell your children, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the water of the Jordan before you had crossed over, just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. This is so that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is strong, and so that you will always fear the Lord your God.'" So write this down. This is the third thing I want you to write down. We celebrate the past so we can step boldly into what's next. We celebrate the past not to go back there, but so that we can step boldly into what's next. For Israel, there's no going back. Remember, now some of you recall, they have already scouted this land before. 40 months before this moment in time, Moses had sent 12 men, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, one of those being Joshua. And they had gone into the land to see what awaited them as they crossed over. And while Joshua and Caleb urged the people to enter the land in faith, the people of Israel rebelled. Listen to what it says in Numbers chapter 14. It says, "Then the whole community broke into loud cries, and the people wept that night. And all the Israelites complained about Moses and Aaron, and the whole community told them," listen to what they tell Moses and Aaron, "'If only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to die by the sword? Our wives and our children will become plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to just go back to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let's appoint a leader and go back to Egypt. Go back to shackles and slavery.'" Because of how afraid they were at what was next. And if you're not familiar with that story, listen, it's their hesitation, it's their unwillingness to step into what's next that God responded to. That's why he turned them around and marched them through the wilderness for 40 years so that none of the people who refused to enter the land got to. They died in the wilderness. So this new group that's standing on the banks of the River Jordan in Joshua 4, this new group, they are the children of that generation. And it always bothers me that it says our wives and our children will become plunder. So an entire generation hides behind its children only for their children to be the ones who have to fight a battle that their parents refuse to. That's a whole nother sermon. So here are their children. 40 years later, standing on the banks of the river, now inside the promised land, carrying 12 stones. 12 stones to memorialize their crossing the Jordan. 12 stones to call to mind what God had done for them. 12 stones to testify that the Lord's hand is strong and that He is faithful. That's why we celebrate the past. Not so that we can long to return there, but so that we can step with boldness into what's next, reminding ourselves again and again and again that the Lord is good. And He is faithful. Here's what I want you to see. Israel didn't carry these stones out of the river because they were afraid of the future. They carried the stones out of the river so they wouldn't forget who God is when the future got hard. Because it will get hard. There will be moments in the promised land when they're tempted to wonder, did we really hear God right? Right? Is He really with us? Should we just go back? Listen, and it's in those moments, that these stones preach. That these stones call out to them, that these stones remind them God made a way. God is faithful. God has brought us through. And that, church, is why this matters for us. Not so that we can just sit back and remember the good old days, not so that we can just wish we were back in some previous season. No, but so that we can stand where we are right now and move forward with confidence. Because the same God who was faithful then is faithful now. So here's the question as our worship team begins to make their way up to the stage. What are the moments that you can think of where God showed up, where God provided, where God made a way, where God carried you through? Where are the stones in your life? Don't forget them. Bring them with you into what's next. Tonight we're going to gather and we're going to place these stones. And I need you to hear me. We're doing this more than as a creative activity. We're declaring together, God has been faithful. God is faithful. And we can trust Him with what's ahead. Because we remember the past, not so that we can live there, but to walk forward with confidence in the God who leads us. Let's pray.